So I used to go into the loo, lock myself and cry.
Oh, okay.
And somebody actually knock up and say, "Ma'am, there's an approval pending. Can you come out?" I just sang two lines and that person walked out and he said, "Needa Chennaioda morning choral." And then both of us laughed.
I give one story, one success story, which will always be special, where we want to talk about.
Okay, so I think to me, I would choose the one that happened recently.
Okay.
Welcome to another episode of Social Sphere, where we deep dive into the world of personal branding, marketing, and the incredible stories of people who create today's influential brands. I'm Tasneem Masood, and today we have a truly incredible guest with us. Joining us is Sulabha, a former RJ turned life coach who inspires women through her transformative podcast called The Sunshine Podcast. Today, we will explore the evolution of podcast from traditional radio to the dynamic world of video podcast and delve into the personal journey of Sulabha from the airwaves to empowering people as a life coach. So whether you're a long-time listener or just tuning in for the first time, be prepared to be inspired by the journey of change and discovery.
Hi, Sulabha.
Hi, Tasneem.
Welcome to the Social Sphere and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me here.
Great. I'm super excited because the last time we met and, you know, when I heard about your journey and I was like, hey, yeah, you know, this also, I mean, the way it has, your journey has evolved, sparked this entire episode, right? You as an RJ moving to becoming a podcaster and a life coach, right? So how has that been for you? And with the changes in the digital space, right, there will be a lot of things that you would have adapted, right? So if you could tell our listeners, what was your journey as an RJ? What inspired you to become an RJ at that point of time?
Okay.
How did it all start?
All right. Thank you so much for having me here. Yeah, it's been a fabulous journey of sorts. And only in retrospect, when we look at it, we understand, oh, not bad. We've done quite a bit of things.
Yeah.
At that point, it seemed pretty normal. So, I mean, this is a story I have said and re-said many times, but I'm going to say this one more time. In 2006, I was just out of my PG, my MBA, and freshly minted into a corporate company, and I hated the job. Looking back, maybe it would have been the starting problem. I had no clue how a corporate worked, and it was pretty hectic. So, I used to go into the loo, lock myself, and cry.
Oh, okay.
And somebody actually knock up and say, "Ma'am, there's an approval pending. Can you come out?" That's how strenuous it was. Like, you couldn't even have a 2 minute break. You know, that's how tricky it was. And that's when I saw an ad on a Hindu Metro Plus.
Was it too monotonous, the corporate thing for you?
I think it was just too early for me to even figure out. But then I knew I wasn't fit for that.
Yeah.
But my parents had just spent a lot of money getting me educated for that. And I just realized, oh my God, I can't do this job. And then, so I saw this ad and I just took my bike. And it was in some godforsaken studio. But then I rode there. And I just told my parents, look, I'm just, you know, going for an audition. At that point, even the word audition was new.
New.
Okay, not like...
How did your parents take it? I'm sure it would have been...
They didn't take much of it because they knew, okay, you're just going somewhere. Okay, just come back home soon. So I just went there. And then I got into an audition. And so I said, what is this audition for? I had even forgotten who had given that ad. I wasn't even sure if it there was a company like that. It was that terrible.
You just wanted to get out.
I wanted to get out. So, and then I just got through that audition by, you know, God's grace. And there was a 1 week program. There was a 1 week training.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know that there were about 50 of us who were, you know, chosen from among thousands for that audition. Those 50 of us then later on became different RJs in different companies. Okay. So we had to be trained for 1 week. That was the tricky part. I had to, you know, somehow explain it to my company. They wouldn't give me an off. So I had to feign like I was sick and I do all of that. And I used to wear a dupatta to go to my training.
Yeah.
Because my branch office and this particular place were just neighbors.
But, okay.
So I did that for a week. And because I didn't even know if I was getting the job. It's after the training. After the training, they offered me the job. Okay. So then I was very surprised because up until that point, I haven't heard radio at all.
Okay.
And neither was I a speaker. I was a singer. I was a performer. I was my college president and a lot of leadership roles, but never a speaker. So then I went, I remember when I went to this audition, I said, they said, okay, start talking. I said, but what should I talk, sir? I don't know. And they all laughed because it was funny. They said, why did you come for an audition without knowing how to talk? I said, sir, I can sing.
okay, you want to listen to it? Because I was out of my job, you know. I would have run out of that. They said, okay, sing. And I sang. And I just sang two lines. And that person walked out and he said, Neetha Chennaioda, Morning Coral. And then both of us laughed. Because it was like a joke.
Yeah, it was like a joke.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was really serious or, you know, reason you have to take the training. We have to put you through a process. But your voice, you are the morning voice of Chennai. I still remember the way he said it, you know. So he saw something in me, Tasneem, that I did not see at that point in me.
How did that make that you feel? I mean, how did that make you feel at that point of time? Someone recognizing a talent in you that you never knew was there within you, right?
Yeah, true. That was like a turning point in my life. And there was a divine intervention. It was like the divine was pushing me. Okay. It's not for you. So he told me, you know, at that point when I was taking up this radio job, it didn't pay me a lot of money that my corporate job would have. So then he told me, but look at you. You know, you will be happy for stocks and shares in your company. But here, you would be impressing people. You would be making an impact on their lives. You know?
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. I said, really? Okay, then maybe, you know. So I was in that phase of my life where things were completely new. And so then I just took the job. And that's why today, looking back, I realized on that particular day, I was the only one who did not know how to be an RJ. And that worked to my advantage because all the others spoke like a particular RJ that day. I didn't have any benchmark. So then I created one.
Maybe it was actually meant for you, I think, right?
Maybe.
Destiny had it that you have to be an RJ and this was
possible. And that's the power of being authentic, right? You're not trying to be someone else. I didn't know.
Right.
So I only had me to be like. So that sort of
that probably worked out.
That worked
for you.
So,
You know, right from being an RJ to, you know, the video podcast, so you've seen the evolution of broadcasting, right? There was a time when everything was on air.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of content was created on air for the radio, and now it is transitioning to, you know, it started with podcasts and now it's moving to video podcasts.
True.
That's growing the trend. So as an RJ, how do you feel about that evolution and how have you adapted and that, you know, in your
professional
honest.
Yeah. Right. If I'm being honest, there was a sense of loss in the beginning. Mm. There was a sense of incredible loss. Like at that point when I just got into radio was booming,
yeah.
And life was pretty colorful, and you know, it was lovely.
Yeah.
There was a point in time when really popular actors used to just get stressed with their work and then drop into our office to have a cup of coffee, or somebody just be there and you'll open the room.
I think all of the All India Radio being a very dull thing, and
true,
and a lot of radio
things of radio,
yeah, really colorful, like you said,
right?
I remember, like, it was so exciting for us also because I remember. I think this was somewhere in 2006.
Actually, 2001 phase started.
Yeah, 2005,
we came in 2006 kind of thing.
And I was in college at that point of time. 2005, 2006, exactly what you said. I used to get excited to tune into different stations.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they used to play all the latest songs.
True.
And, you know, they had this trending conversation. So that was very exciting for us also.
And so what happened was celebrities were up there, right?
Yes.
We couldn't access them. But here were RJs who were friendly. And they could access celebrities. So they became that midpoint, you know?
Yes, yes.
So that was a lovely space to be in. Every day we'd be interviewing celebrities. At the same time, meeting people on another end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a great space to be in. But like in any format of content, today I know that everything lasts only for a short while.
Yeah.
And it just changes.
Yeah, it just phases out, right?
It phases out. Anything. Like, you know, whether it is television, now we're talking about.
Yeah, from TV shows to OTT, right?
Right.
I mean, there was a point of time when Tata Sky had, I mean, everyone had to subscribe to Tata Sky to look.
Yeah.
We needed to access those content, but now nobody wants it and we are all on OTT.
Yeah. Today, how many of us look at channels? Today, we've all moved, right?
Right.
So all that is happening.
Yeah.
So, like I said, there was an incredible sense of loss. But then when I made, you know, my attitude when I shifted it, I said, okay, there is no choice. Now it has to move online. So then
more opportunities opened up.
For sure. Both of it has happened. People who were stuck to, I want to do only this, they sort of got left behind on one side. And other people who are just willing, it's just content at the end of the day. How does it matter which format or which platform you're hosting it on?
Yeah.
Right? People with that attitude, they were able to sort of move. Today, you can't just be an RJ. You know, today you have to
you should be conversant with social media, you have some of the life happening, and then you have radio. At that point, we were only doing radio for 8 hours, 10 hours a day.
10 hours a day. So how are, so with the video contents coming, in the picture, how have you adapted to your story? I mean, how has your storytelling technique changed, or how have you adapted to this?
That's a transition. Great question, you know, because I realized there is one advantage of the story. Mm. I'm used to creating stories when people didn't have a picture at all.
Correct.
Radio is called the theater of the mind.
Correct. No, I didn't work so long. When I was a kid, I think I would have been in my 8th grade or something. All India Radio had, you know, they used to broadcast the movie. Hear the movie.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And we had to visualize.
Right.
That was a completely different experience from as to watching a movie. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. So, how did that help you, or, you know?
So, the audio is the tricky part. Your intonation, yeah. Your storytelling technique, all of that, we perfected it. Mm. Without even being aware of it. It just happened. So, visually, when you're backed with visuals, right? Things become easier for you on one side. But the other side, let me tell you, in the morning, I used to just roll my hair into a bun and I'll be sitting
In front of the camera. That's a stretch, right?
That is a very different world, right? You have to be worried about how's the light, how is the face, where are you sitting, what's on the mic, all that. Back then, it was just the audio. So everybody used to come and say, Sulabha, it's such an easy thing what you're doing. I love radio interviews because you're just walking.
Correct.
And somebody will be eating a chocolate, they'll be having breakfast, they'll do the show with us. So that's how
it was. Just like our Zoom meetings during the quarantine.
Right.
Just turned up the video and then, we could be in our pajamas, which way we wanted.
I respect video people so much now. I mean, people, whether it is in the serials or movie stars, I don't know how they do this day in and day out, you know. You're putting on like makeup in the morning and then you're
working. Keep that strange thing.
Yeah. Keep that, you know, your pleats clean and your clothes are perfect, and then you look that part every part of the day. I mean, that's a lot.
I think that's something that I also resonate with. And, you know, when I started making videos during the COVID, I realized, hey, it's not an easy job. As an audience, when I look at somebody performing and all that, I used to be very critical. Saying, hey, you know, she could have done this. Then I realize, hey, if you want to take effort.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and being more respectful, you know, because it takes a lot of effort.
True.
And it's not everybody's cup of tea. Actually, videos are not everybody's cup of tea. It's not easy to make videos. It's not easy to stand in front of the screen.
See, for example, what you're creating right now, right? There's so much of coordination that's happened behind screen.
Sure.
There's a person who's filming. There's so much is happening right here.
Yes.
And while a live conversation on radio would be just me switching on the mic and then I'll have a music bed, I would be everything. I am the editor, I am the producer, I am the presenter. All of it is in me. So on one side, everything used to be in control. I'm just making the, you know, show garma garam, and I'm producing it and just playing it.
But
that's not how television works.
So on that note, now that you make videos, how does, I mean, definitely there's a lot of technology involved, right? Like you said, there is editing, that's another platform. You need to shoot the video and all that. And also, what were the challenges that you faced when you started making video content? The technological challenges that you faced?
Yeah, so like I told you, right, the camera, people only see what is behind. The camera will be sitting on a delicate pillow,
which
will be like books.
Yeah.
And then there'll be one light somewhere, you know. I wish I can show people the other side also, because there's so much happening. Or my son will be holding that light for me. Or sometimes the internet just stopped and then you're wondering what to do. So technology, that way is challenging. But at the same time, imagine, right, in a radio studio, they've spent crores setting up that studio for us so that for me to just switch on the mic and go live. Now, Instagram or YouTube, I just have to go press that one button and then I'm live. I'm like, hey, you guys made this so easy.
Yeah.
So that way it's mind-blowing, right? And then you have filters, you have music.
The number of applications today there is. One point of time, editing used to be a huge task.
So difficult.
Yeah.
So on Instagram today, the way the editing has been, I'm not so sure with YouTube, but then on Instagram, you can edit a reel, you know? And then I'm so amazed. I'm like, wow, everything is on that platform.
It's like within minutes.
Otherwise, for you, just to give people an understanding, if you have to upload a small video into a system, then it'll take about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Loading.
And then buffering.
Loading and then buffering. And then even if you have to save it, it takes so much time.
Yeah.
And if you're too fast with the system, it'll hang like that. It'll be. So, you'll have to go slow. But on Instagram, imagine, things are so much easier. So people are creating so much more content.
It's amazing.
That's very amazing.
So how has your audience you know, adapted to this change? Or, you know, have you been, do you think your audience is engaging more because it's video now?
Right. Okay. So, yeah. So they are now putting, I think they're putting a face to the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is happening in different pockets of my life. Like the other day I was walking. So somebody says, another friend is introducing me to another friend. She's like, hey, this is Sulabha. Wow, Sulabha, I know you. I've heard you like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So people are now putting a face to that particular voice and it's happening very differently.
Correct.
And the people who are following me on social media, they don't know my past of the radio.
And all that.
So it's sort of, I don't know which is wiring into what, but then it's just some days you have moments like that.
Talking about your journey from an RJ to the life coach that you've become with the project that you're doing, Sunshine Project, where you're transforming and empowering women, right? So how did that start? I'm sure the kind of content that you made as an RJ would be completely different from what you're doing now to with your, the Sunshine Project as a life coach, right? So what inspired you to become a life coach in the first place? And
okay.
What is the journey behind that?
Okay. So in 2020, when all of us were going through COVID and all, I thought emotionally I had hit one of my many rock bottoms. All of us have phases like that, right? When you feel like you have no more energy to give. And so here I was working 5 hours from home with bare minimum, you know, equipments. Now it's not the studio. And so it was very difficult to, you know, get work through. And then you're also working at home. You're working for home. You're working from home.
It's like too much of work.
It was. So, and then I realized I was like discovering parts of my home and I'm like, oh, wow, this part of my home is like this. Because so many hours, I was just running and running and running. And there was only output from my end.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my day would begin at 4:45 in the morning. And when it ends at 9:30, the next day is just about to begin. So work, being a mother and all of that. I realized I was not spending enough time with myself or for myself. There was a lot of output, but there was no input happening. Maybe it's because of that. 2020, I sort of hit an emotional low point.
You were feeling a little exhausted.
Understatement. I felt I have nothing more to tell the world. That's the feeling I had. And I felt I had nothing more new to say. And then I felt it was very difficult to live in my head. That was the moment I realized. Because, you know, Tasneem, there's this thing. We don't live in spaces outside. It's not a 3 BHK or a palatial house or a studio apartment we live in. We're living here.
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time.
Which we don't realize, actually, speaking. Yeah.
And that day, I said this to myself. I don't like, you know, just being me and what. I don't like my thoughts. And I was in such a bad shape in my head. But then outside, my life looked pretty perfect. 10 years ago, if somebody came and told me they were a life coach, I've laughed. I've said, well, why are you going to teach me my life?
I've been there. I think it takes an age or we need a stage in life probably. Right?
Maybe.
We start looking at life in a different perspective.
So,
and you're like, hey, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so this is what you do. What happened was I was in that state for very long. And then I lost a friend, a dear friend to cancer. At that point of time. So then I thought, you know, something good should happen. If you thought, no, it's something really worse happened. So then I was like, then I started questioning just about everything in life. Where are we? What am I doing? What am I running behind? And everything. And it's at that point, you know, my job was also coming to an end. And believe it or not, I felt a sense of liberation when I had to let that job go. But it was my identity. It was my everything. Radio was my everything. But there was a point where we were not able to see eye to eye. And then I had to really move out and figure out who I am. So I took the very difficult call of letting radio go. So I was in my official low point. And then that's when another company reached out to me. And they paid me to interview life coaches for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was the rest of the COVID.
That was like a great... I don't even know. See, it was for me. It was a job. And I did the job well. But then that sort of... I said, oh, wow. What are they speaking? Oh, I feel like they're talking to me. All of them are talking to me. Oh, my God.
And all these answers that you were searching.
Searching for.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the way it came to me.
Yeah.
And since I was in such a bad shape, it helped me understand that I was doing so many things wrong to myself. The inside here, while I was so positive outside and everybody would call me Smiley Sulabha, I'm talking positive rubbish to the world, but I'm being extremely negative to me. That's when it hit me. Then I had to stop, you know, I need to stop, and then I had to reflect. That was a very dark phase, actually. It was dark because it is lonely. And some parts of life, you realize no matter how many people are there in your life to love you and care for you, some journeys you have to go through them alone. It's your journey. It's your journey. And nobody can travel.
Yeah.
Right? It was dark, but deep, required. I used to sit in silence and cry for so many days. And this came from a realization of what I had done to myself in the past. So that realization, you know, everybody around me would just be quiet. They wouldn't ask me why or what. I just grab tissues after tissues. And after I cry for an hour, I feel better. So I was releasing a lot of negative patterns and stuff like that. And then this group of incredible people helped me. They didn't even know they were helping me.
Yeah.
Okay, but then it happened. And then I realized, okay, so if I needed this, what if I could share this joy with someone else who may be here?
Yes.
Now, their reasons to come here may be very different. Their age could be very different. But I realized I could be a healer.
True. You haven't gone through this. And if you're facing this, there could be a lot of people who are facing it in silence, right?
True.
Right? Not necessarily everybody searches for answers. Not necessarily everybody talks, right? But what if you could?
What if I do? So that was the thing. And then helping women sort of resonated with me.
Yeah.
I have no answer for why. When, yes, I do. But then helping women sort of resonated. It felt like a calling.
Calling.
Cannot explain, you know, some
things,
right?
You can't.
You can't. So then it felt like a calling. So I thought, okay, let me put myself out there and see where this goes. So my intention became that, you know, if I can help like 1 million people,
1 million women
become better versions of themselves, can I do that to someone? It's like, can I light that glow in someone else's life? That became the intention.
That became the intention.
Yeah.
So that's how the Sunshine Project
started.
Can you tell us a little about the project? Because what I understand from you is, it is not just the podcast or the content that you put out. There are a lot of other things also that you do. In the sense when, say, like coaching as such, you coach a person, right?
Yes.
And then a lot of other activities also involved.
True.
With it. So if you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure.
Also.
So the company was named Sunshine Communication. That also was a calling. I told you I lost a friend.
Yeah.
His last message to me was that word. He said, remember, you are sunshine.
Oh, that's...
And then...
Beautiful.
Yeah. So,
it's very emotional.
It is emotional whenever I talk about him. So I still say he's like the silent partner in my company. He's somewhere there. So to honor his presence in my life and what he had brought into my life, the company name became that, Sasha.
And also you kind of give hope.
Yeah.
A way of hope to it.
Yes, right? Yeah.
So that kind of...
We look for it, right? Like we look for that sunshine, right? Wherever we are in a dark phase. I hoped that it could resonate with people. So I started the Sunshine Podcast on that same thought. So I do a lot of webinars where women come in and we are a tribe where we encourage each other. So the idea is, I sort of show them how they could be. And with that point, from that point, a lot of lives have changed. That is one thing I do. And then I also do corporate training. So the intentionality, like I told you, is the most important to me. Now, the idea is Sunshine Communications is a company. So there are webinars that I do, but the intentionality to me shines through. So whichever way I can sort of impact someone's life, it just happens naturally.
Yeah.
By just being very authentic and by being very intentional about it, the change in them just
doing what you actually believe in and what you wanted to do for yourself.
True.
What worked for you could work for others.
Absolutely.
And that's how it is.
Absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
And so when it comes to your, I'm sure there would have been, you know, once you started the journey as a life coach,
there would have been incidents, or there could have been one incident that has impacted you and said, hey, yes, I am doing an amazing work, right? Or, did I just do this, right?
Yeah.
Did that, do you have any such experience?
Oh, yes. God's been so kind, Tasneem. And these small nuggets, okay, glimmers, like I call them, keep happening all throughout, okay? Like Instagram, for example. So this friend of mine used to keep saying, why don't you post content? because of the thought that you have, you're sharing it with us. Why don't you share it with the world? But then I used to always come up with excuses, you know, and say, you know, I have to get a team to do this. I have so much work to do. I can't do this. I kept saying this to him for a very long time. And then when I sort of just got rid of my excuses and I said, you know what, I'm just going to do this. People like it, people like it. They don't like it, they don't like it. So yeah. I wanted to just
get started.
Yeah, I start somewhere. So that it took a lot of courage for me to do that. When I started doing that, I realized, see, I'm putting a content with a very simple perspective sometimes. I read about it or I heard about it. I love it. Let me work something. Yeah. And then sometimes they're very big concepts, okay? Like, yeah. You understand psychological concepts are very deep.
Very, very deep.
Now, how does one explain this within 40, 50 seconds? So I can only explain a part of it. But then, okay, let me put it out. When people, they take it in so many different ways and they're either fighting about it or they're, you know, they
have their opinion.
They have the opinions and their lessons are very different from what I thought it will be.
Yeah.
So the words are mine, but the meaning is theirs.
Yeah.
So that is
their perception. You can see their perception.
Yeah.
For that particular concept of what it's talking about.
So a lot of them come on DMs and they say, this particular thing changed my life. Or I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. That was not my, you know, idea at all. I didn't know it could reach this particular person in this particular way. But that's happening. That's the magic of social media. You don't know who is consuming it. At the same time, there are people who come and fight with me and they say, are you from a happy family? How are you even married?
How do you think those criticism?
Okay. So since I had this thing in the radio as well, I sort of trained myself to be a little immune to that.
Yeah.
And I know I shouldn't let that negativity get to me. So for now, it's still a smaller tribe. I don't get so much of hate comments. But the ones that actually get to me are women who come and talk to me about their problems. Now, this is very upsetting because I know I can't help them a lot. They want like one-line solutions, you know?
Which is not possible.
Which is...
Without doing a lot of inner work.
And then, when I'm not able to give them that solution, they say, oh, so you're in for the money. You're not wanting to help us. I'm like, no, that's not the point. But I'm not able to engage with them beyond a point. And sometimes I get really sensitive messages about their lives and all of that over a DM. So now that affects me. I keep thinking, oh God, what a situation are they in? How can I help them?
Yeah.
I've made peace with the fact that I cannot help everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't say all the world, right?
That's a learning which is
difficult,
actually, for me.
For you.
I'm grappling with it sometimes.
So yeah, no, when we were having this conversation before we started recording, right? You were saying that Sunshine Project is about happiness. It's about telling women to be happy or, you know, teaching them how they can be happy.
Absolutely.
Right? And content with themselves. So on those days, what does happiness mean for you?
Oh, wow.
Any point in time, it's a great question, right? I mean, it's a very deep question. It makes us reflect.
So to me, today, how I would sum it up is life of my expectation minus life of my reality.
Life of your expectation minus life of your reality.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever is in between.
Whatever is in between is causing the stress.
Mm.
If I'm somewhere able to reduce this, my expectation of any situation versus my today's reality, if I'm able to sort of bring this together, the more and more and more acceptance I grow to that, I think I can be happy.
And basically, acceptance, right?
It is.
So how do you translate this or how do you explain this to your, your clients who reach out to you for help?
Right.
Sure it's not like, it's just like you go to a designer, right? One wants a seamless, another wants a short top, another wants in red, but then there are different shades of red.
Yeah.
I'm sure that everyone comes with different problems. So how do you, handle that? And because at the end, the goal is to teach them to be happy and happiness is not, what you define as happiness is not going to be my definition of happiness.
True,
right?
Very true.
It is very, very subjective.
Mm.
How do you teach them? And it keeps changing. I'm sure it keeps changing, right? So right now I'm happy. Maybe I'm happy for another 10 days or 12 days. Mm. Something else comes in, triggers. Mm.
So that's actually a very beautiful question because that's something I grapple with. How do you make people understand something that you've understood so well? This is where I think my base in radio has helped me a lot. And my personality comes through. I try and figure out stories.
Okay.
Stories, example, people take it up like that.
Yeah.
The story could be very simple, but then people attach so many more beautiful, meanings to it. And it just takes off. And the beauty is the truth shines through, Tasneem. I've realized, you know. So the truth is so powerful and so beautiful. When you just offer it to people, right, they understand it so well. So they relate it with their own lives and examples and stories, sort of.
Stories. Sorry.
Yeah.
It is honest.
Kind of also really, I mean, tell them your personal experiences.
All that. I can actually tell you a story right now.
Okay.
That I worked on for a script that, you know, people sort of take to it very.
Okay. So there was this very beautiful, sweetest mango in the world. Okay.
Now that sweetest mango in the world goes to a juice shop.
Mm.
Now it wants a job.
Okay.
So it goes to this, you know, the person there and the person sitting and the person is actually checking out the mango. It's the sweetest mango in the world. And then he says, okay, you're looking too yellow. Okay. And so this mango is saying, okay. So this person says, I'm looking for somebody pink. So this mango goes, oh my God. And then the person says, we're looking for somebody seedless. You have this huge seed that I don't like.
No, right.
And then this mango is now, you know, the eyes and all are welled up with tears and a lot of mango hates itself, yeah?
Mm.
No, it's hating itself. And then so this person said, we're looking for somebody seedless. We're looking for somebody in pink. And so this mango is now gone, okay? So this mango goes out. And what this mango is not seeing, you know, in that juice shop says strawberry milkshake only sold here.
It's gone to the wrong place.
Now the mango doesn't know this person's name. So what happens is the mango is now thinking, why did you create me like this, God? You made me yellow. You made me with such a big seed. And now you've not made me pink also. And what do I do right now? What about me doing a cosmetic surgery to become this pink thing? Can I become pink? Can I fit in? Story ends.
Ends there.
Okay. So when I say this to people, I have seen people cry. Because all of us at some part of our lives tried to do this. Thing is, it's not wrong being a mango or a strawberry. It's about if you're a mango, can you embrace your mango-ness?
Correct.
You know, that's all
fine. You're trying, right?
Yeah.
You're celebrated.
Well, you're celebrated. And imagine what a tragedy it is if the world's sweetest mango is upset that it's not a strawberry.
I know.
So that's the story.
That's the story.
And so when I say this, people have learned like so many lessons from that
Amian story. And I think that is a good story for the audience today also, right?
Yeah. I've also been there.
Correct.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
We've all been.
Very true. I'm sure when you started as a knife coach, like any other, brand or a business that you start, you would have had your challenges to set yourself,
oh, yes.
Right?
In present tense.
Yes, in present tense to brand yourself and say that, hey, I exist, right? That's a major challenge of a brand.
Right.
Brand positioning, right? So, Sulabha is the brand for Sunshine Project. Sunshine Project all stems from Sulabha, right? So, how do you tackle those challenges? Or what are those challenges that you faced to establish yourself as a life coach?
Right. So, a life coaching business is a business and it's coaching. So, then one part of it came naturally to me, which is the coaching. I think I do a phenomenal job with it. But then the business part of it is where I'm struggling. Yeah, how to make it profitable, how to handle the everyday vagaries of a business. Now, that's something I'm grappling with. And see, it gets interesting because I was born to an entrepreneur and married to one. But then being an entrepreneur is a challenge.
Correct.
So every day to sort of, you know, regulate your timing, to figure out which teams to work with, how much money do you put where, and then, you know, what are the accounts, what are the tax you have to pay. So those are the things I'm grappling with, okay? So to come out of my own limitation, I ran out of a sales job, remember?
Yeah.
It eventually caught up.
Okay.
So today I understand that, you know, you can't run away too long. And then you sort of understand that there are things that I'm learning every day as an entrepreneur. And to do marketing, I studied a lot of things. Now I'm putting all of them into practice. But I'm enjoying the whole process. So
what should be some of the, you know, marketing strategies that you use as a life coach? For your industry, obviously industry to industry varies.
Right.
So, I mean, here it's more about personal branding.
Right.
When it comes to life coaching, it's more about personal branding.
Right.
So what are some of the strategies that you use to
brand? I'm not so sure if there's a strategy, Tasneem, because there was
be like,
okay, really well.
Okay, mind what? See, strategy again is very subjective. It's about what you feel is right.
Right.
At that point of time.
Right.
Right. Heard, seen.
Correct.
What are the current strategies that you use, or what do you think that, you know, you should be doing?
Okay.
Okay.
So
One thing is actually I have understood that selling is a good thing. Okay, so I've had to come out of my own limiting thoughts that, you know, selling is not a great thing. Selling is not for women. I had all these thoughts growing up and I realized it very late. So then I had to come out of it and I understand that, you know, when you're selling a product, you're happy with it. So therefore, you're selling a product. So the idea of selling is a good thing itself has taken me so much to understand.
Right.
Okay, so then I'm out there when I'm making a sale, I don't feel lesser about it. And to make peace with the fact that you can't make everybody happy all the time.
Correct.
My product's not for everyone.
Yeah, very.
Right? So now I've made peace with it. Now, earlier when somebody used to say, oh, I can't afford this or I can't come, then I used to feel bad. Oh my God, they're not able to buy it. So what can I do to change? Now I've made peace with the fact that only some people will resonate with the person I am. So like I told you, I'm a mango. If somebody likes a strawberry and they're okay with a strawberry, they should go ahead with a strawberry.
Mm.
So I'm now stopped trying to be a strawberry, but I'm just trying to, do whatever I offer in a best possible way. And I'm trying to get better in that.
Better at that.
So this understanding has been a game changer for me.
Has Instagram helped you there?
Absolutely. So as of now, my Instagram content is just content. There is no, I'm not selling any particular thing there. Then what is happening is the people who are in touch, now that tribe is a very dedicated tribe.
Set the credibility.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. So many of them don't understand what life coaching is about. So then I just tell them, can you go log onto my page? They're like, yeah, I understand. Oh, you understand that? And then do you understand what life coaching is about?
Or,
to get a whole awareness to the industry, that social media is very helpful.
So let's say back in 2006, right, when radio was a thing.
Mm.
And now, do you think life coaching would have been easier then than now?
Yeah, life coaching would have been easier, but getting the word across is so much easier now. There is a lot more awareness.
So how do you write the audiences, under the consumption pattern definitely has shifted, right?
Oh, yes.
So what do you think the people have adapted from the radio to the video?
Yeah. Right. In radio, people were only in for the music. 80% of the content was music.
Music.
There were people for the content, but that was very sporadic.
Sporadic, yeah.
But today, social media has made this entire thing of content consumption. Like, imagine us doing this. We would call this talk radio.
Yeah.
There are talk radio concepts, but today, people are ready to watch a 30-minute content if it connects with them. Right?
Yeah.
So, and it could be boring to one sect of the audience, but the other sect of audience wants to listen to it or wants to watch it. Right? There are specific podcasts also today.
Right.
Technological podcasts are there. Entrepreneurial podcasts are there. So
people get to select.
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
Right? So today that has happened. I think today there's a lot more demand for good value content and not just music as content.
Correct. Right.
So that has definitely come a long way.
I give one story, one success story. It will always be special when we want to talk about.
Okay. So I think to me, I would choose the one that happened recently.
Okay.
Okay. So there was this person who was part of her entire coaching and she was like, she was a single parent at that time and she didn't have any income. So we were talking about visualization techniques and manifesting. And she had this look on her face. She said, you know what? Let me see if all of this works. We all have that thought, right? I said, try it. You never know, right? So when she tried that particular thing and it worked for her in such a short period of time, okay? She got a job. She got 200% more than she ever imagined as a salary. And she told me, Sulabha, if this works, I'll come for your next program. She said, right now, I can't afford you. I said, okay, whenever you want, come, but I wish you the best. So 1 week later, she pings me. Now she shifted cities. She's already made that money. So she's like, you know what? This is working. So get me signed up. So let me see more results in life.
That's amazing.
So that's one of the recent things, She's still in the program. And so the happiness, Tasneem, that's it's working for someone else because it's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's
yeah.
not because of Sulabha. It's,
yeah.
Sulabha is only the messenger.
Yeah. Correct.
It's the enabler.
Yeah.
I would say.
True.
She's in you with them and then they figure it out. So when it's figuring out for them and it's been working for them, that becomes my biggest takeaway.
That's amazing.
That entire thing.
That's amazing. What do you think would be the future trends, in podcasting? Now, from the audio to the video you've seen.
Yeah.
Where do you see the future going?
It's going to boom because it's booming in the West.
Yeah.
But technically, that has not happened in India yet.
Yet.
So, it's always like that, right? Whatever works there in 5 years,
same time.
So today, podcasting, as much as we're saying, is doing wonderfully, it's still not a very commercially viable venture. But I see that happening.
you know, very soon, very soon. Because today it's possible to just with our phones,
yeah,
record an entire radio.
They have setup that is required, right?
That's to start up. No,
yeah.
Imagine companies spent crores and crores of money for that studio.
And today you can then with just one
mic, whatever. Really good sword.
Any good sword and everything that is there.
Yeah. Right. So what will happen? Specialized podcasts may start, and they will start having a small community
of listeners,
dedicated listeners.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I have, you know, some five questions for you.
Okay.
Because I didn't want this to be very, very serious.
All right.
So let me just pull that out. And
okay. So what was your favorite on-air moment?
Answer, RJ.
Okay.
So we are slashing at the moment, but this once when there was a conversation live, okay, this happened live. So there was this debate when we said black or white. And so this person called up and he was supporting black, and he gave us a reason of why black and all of that. And then it happened to be Gautam Menon.
Oh, sorry, the thing got lens. What's your name? It just said very nicely, Gautam Vasudev Menon. What? No!
So that's just one more.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. When, which Yash?
Oh my God, I wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know.
Okay, so what? So you have these painkillers set and ready with you, right, when you broadcast,
okay,
right?
So what
right.
song or music or what genre always energized you during...
Happy one.
So what was your... I mean, yeah, you did say happy songs were your genre, right? So
yeah.
Right now, can you sing a song for us? Because you said you were a singer.
Okay, so this particular song, we were... When this radio station, Radio City, went live on air first 2006, I was the one who was hosting that show. So we had this huge discussion on what song should play first on air.
Yeah.
That's like an important moment, right? So then unanimously, all of us agreed at that point of time, Alipayade was doing so well. So we all agreed it has to be Endrendrum Punnagai.
Mm.
And that just went with the vibe. And all of us voted for that song. And that's the song that I hosted. I started my career with.
So you want to sing that song?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking how that song has resonated with all parts of my life, you know, even today. So, yeah.
என்றென்றும் புன்னகை முடிவிலா புன்னகை இன்று நான் மீண்டும் மீண்டும் பிறந்தேன் ஒரு துளி பார்வையிலே ஓ என்னுயிரே ஓ என்னுயிரே தீம் தீம் தரன தீம் 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 தன தீம் தன ஓஹோ காதலே இல்லையோ.
Wow, now I understand why he said you will be the sound of generation.
Now I totally get it.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next question, is there a hidden talent or hobby you discovered during your transition from an RJ to light coaching?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I did discover that I am a very deeply spiritual person.
Okay.
And my presence is very healing to people.
That's amazing.
It's a very deep thing, but that's amazing.
Okay, yeah, isn't she amazing,
that's
right?
Just like the energy around me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's like a healing energy. And then the voice as well.
Yes, definitely.
I've only...
There's no doubt about your voice, yeah.
When it's only for... You know, I've only used it for... like a show or a singing, but I never looked at it this way, or a completely different perspective.
That's amazing. So what's that one book that inspired you the most on your journey to, while becoming a life coach?
Okay. Again, so many, but one particular book, which is, I discovered this after, it's a Louise Hay book, Heal Your Body.
That's not
the only thing.
Yeah. Actually, you know, one of my physio recommended that book. So I remember going, I think this was sometime in 2018 or 17.
Okay.
I had the severe neck pain.
Right.
And I went for a physio and she was like, when do you get this pain? Do you realize when you get this pain? I said, yeah, I do. I said, it's most of the time when I'm stressed. Every time I'm stressed, this pain starts. She said, yeah, that's how it is. You know, your body just stores in different parts. you know, the stress or, you know, our emotions, basically.
Yeah.
She said, read this book and you.
They do it.
So, I wrote that book. Amazing. I recommend this book to everyone. You know,
see, look at that. So, Louise Hay, she came into my life. That's how I believe authors' books do. It's, I don't think we choose them. They choose us.
Yeah, they choose. Very true, very true. Okay, one last question. If you could interview anyone, any guest on your podcast, the Sunshine Podcast, who would it be and why?
Okay. So there was one opportunity that I missed and I don't think it's coming back. It was Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. He was a person I wanted to interview. Never happened. So that is like one, you know, mark there. But then as you see right now, Oprah Winfrey. I hope it happens one day.
Thank you. That'd be lovely and amazing to have her on your podcast. I mean, having her on anybody's podcast.
Yeah, she's an amazing.
She's such a, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to interview her. She's the one who's always interviewing others. No?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For a change.
Yeah, for a change. That was lovely. Hi, Sulabha, it was lovely having you today. And I think we had some very enlightening conversation right from the journey of, you know, you as an RJ to a life coach and also the evolution of radio to podcasting and all that and all. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much, Tasneem. Like, you know, I never did realize that, you know, we're going to be doing this podcast. And this is very special to me because this is the first video podcast that I am part of as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure this won't be the last, but this definitely is the first.
It's definitely this will
thank
not
you.
Be the
last. But this is the first.
Yeah, very special.
Yeah, very special.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. If this conversation has sparked your interest, do not forget to like, share and subscribe our channel and follow us on social media. Until then, keep telling stories that inspire. This is Tasneem Masood signing off. Stay connected, stay inspired.